when I was in final year at school, and I did biology. My father was an engineer, and he wanted me to become an engineer. But look, there were no girls doing engineering.
Right. Really?
And not at that time.
Yeah.
And biology, I really liked it, and I thought, well, might as well do medicine. I just loved the way the human body worked and that sort of stuff.
How did you get into surgery?
I did medical terms and surgical terms as a junior doctor, and I liked the fact that in surgery you actually used your hand, you operated, you fixed someone up, they came in with a problem and they went out and they were usually cured or fixed in some way. Whereas in medicine they just seem to, you know, to dish out pills. I don't want to be rude to my physician colleagues, but yeah.
There's something real about surgery?
Well, first of all, the anatomy is interesting. I find the anatomy fascinating. You know, to operate on the human body, I think it's a privilege to be able to do that. And the way it all fits together. I've always liked geography and the way things fit together. Yeah, okay. And anatomy.
So there's still an engineering part to your brain.
Yeah, but there's also a bit of a creative part too, especially with this operation, the Ross procedure. You've got to sort of think three-dimensionally, if you like.
Well, explain why that's creative.
Well, you've got a problem to fix, and you've got to fix it in a fairly quick period of time. You've got a gap of some tissue to fill, and you've got to work out some way of doing it so that the flow of blood is not impeded. It's got to all be nice curves and.
So you're sculpting.
In a fashion, yeah.
Do you get nervous?
Early in my career I used to, and I used to spend, you know, nights awake wondering how, if this didn't work, what could I do next, and always having a plan B. Mm. I suppose as you go along you get used to what can happen and how you're going to get out of it.
So how do you reconcile yourself to having other people's lives in your hands?
Well, fortunately, let's look at this Ross procedure. Patient has left hospital alive, okay? There's been some near misses, but certainly in other types of surgery we've lost patients, and it's not nice, it's not pleasant. And you go out of your way to make sure you've minimised those number of times.
We're pretty good with surgery. Mm. You're actually, it's not as though you're holding someone's potential for death, but your hands, you're giving someone something quite remarkable that no one else is going to give them, and there's other people who can do it. Mm. That's quite a profound thing to be constantly bestowing on people with the labour of your hands. Do you think about that much?
Not really. I mean, I suppose I just look at, this is something that I've learned. Fortunately, we're all standing on the shoulders of giants, and people have worked a lot of this stuff out, and every generation of medicos just makes a little incremental step further, and you're practicing what you've been doing, and you're doing it over and over again. I don't lose a whole lot of time during the operation, at least.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, there might be the odd occasion where you doubt yourself.
Yeah.
And it just starts, your head starts closing in and going, how the heck am I going to get out of this? I've certainly had those times.
Right. And what do you fall back on training then?
Well, yeah, and sometimes I even call a colleague in.
Right.
If things are really, you just don't know how you're going to. Like, I've had the odd young patient on the table where this is elective surgery. They came in, if I hadn't have operated on them, they could have been walking around for the next sort of 5 or 10 years. Sure, they had symptoms, etc. But in the middle of this operation, I think, I don't know how I'm going to get this patient out alive. And that's a scary situation. But, you still sit back and you think, and you may get a colleague to come in, and, they might point something out to you. It doesn't happen too often that you have to call a colleague in, but occasionally we do.
Do your family think you have a God complex?
Definitely. In fact, I'm told I've got to leave that at the door when I come through into the house. That's right.
Do you leave it at the door?
I've learnt that I've got to, yes, to have a harmonious relationship with the other members of the family.
And would you recommend medicine to your children or to young people, surgery especially?
Absolutely, I have, but none of them have taken me up on it. They see the sort of life I lead, and and one of them actually did a work experience with me. My daughter came in, and she felt a bit threatened by the hierarchical sort of situation in the operating theatre.
It's very hierarchical, isn't it?
Doctor barking orders, and et cetera, yeah.
Are you disappointed that your kids don't do what you do?
A little bit, yeah, I am. If only for a selfish reason that when I'm sort of 70 or 80, I mean, it'd be nice to have a doctor in the family to tell me...
to rely on.
That's right.
What difference will this make to Hamish's life, do you think?
Well, at the moment he gets short of breath when he, with all of his exertional activities, and he's got a deformed aortic valve which is not opening properly, and it's also leaking severely, and he can't keep up with his peers to do the sort of things he wants, and he's only 18. And if we don't do a Ross procedure, he's be probably best to have a mechanical heart valve, which would mean that he's then got to be on warfarin, which is quite a dangerous blood thinner for the rest of his life.
Why are you so keen to support the tissue bank?
Well, because we always have trouble getting enough valves to do these sorts of procedures. And it's not just the Ross procedure. There's other sort of situations where we use donor valves. It's a little bit different to organ donation, whereas you've got to really make a decision when your patient's still alive that you're going to be an organ donor, or the family does. But whereas with tissue donation, it's after you've died. Within Victoria, you'll be having a coroner's autopsy. That's when you'll be approached by the staff at the tissue bank to see whether you might
and most consider. People aren't really aware. Well, not nearly as aware of that as they are of organ donation.
Exactly. But there's, it's not just heart valves. There's muscle and tendon sort of tissue. There's skin for burns victims.
When I saw all the gear, and you see the theatre full of stuff, actually the thing I thought was, this is the height of civilization. Like, it's extraordinary, the amount of technology, expertise, gear, people. I'm not sure we have too many situations in our society where everything comes together like that. It's amazing.
Yeah, well,
it's just everyday for you, isn't it? Stay at the office.
It is. Cardiac surgery is high tech. I mean, that's true. And we've got lots of staff. But it's all, once the operation's over, they all disperse, okay? So we all come together for this sort of 4 or 5 hours, or however long it takes. And everything goes according to plan, and we're a team. And I've worked with these people here for, you know, over 10 years. And I wouldn't want to do this operation if I wasn't with that team. Once the operation's over, the patient goes to intensive care, and we all disperse, or we do the next case, or whatever. It's certainly very intensive in the operating theatre.
Let's go in there.
Yeah. Okay.